Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
What's up, Chicago? Happy Saturday night. You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. Over the next hour, we are going to talk about Flus fired, the future of Ryan Poles, my holiday wish list for the Chicago Bears over the remaining five games, and also my keys to a Bears victory against the San Francisco 49ers this week. So without further ado, let's get to this week's episode. The Chicago Bears sitting on a six-game losing streak heading into this week's action against the San Francisco 49ers. Other than that, there isn't a whole lot going on at Halas Hall, right? Incorrect. That was my Matt Eberflus impression, an impression that is getting staler and more or less timely by the day. Matt Eberflus is out as the Chicago Bears coach after the Thanksgiving debacle that I don't know about you guys. When the Chicago Bears were losing 16-0 against the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day, I was sitting around with both my parents and my wife. We were getting ready, making sides, having a white Russian, enjoying our holiday. And it was 16-0. And I started texting friends and I said, I can't wait for Caleb Williams to bring us back into this game and then watch Flus mess it up. I used a curse word in the text, cleaning it up for radio. Happy Saturday night, WLS. And lo and behold, that happened. And this is the time, Chicago sports fans, that's when you know you're close to hitting rock bottom. I don't know if there's deeper levels to this. Just ask the Chicago White Sox, but I'm one of the most optimistic fans you're going to come across. And when I'm starting to project the negativity onto a team because I know what's coming, and then you are right in that negativity, that's when you know things have gone sideways. I felt it when the Chicago White Sox were losing, what, upwards of 20 games at a time. They had multiple dozen losing streaks throughout the course of the season, and I'd watch them and I'd go, well, this is the part where they let the other team back into it. This is the part where they blow it. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. With Matt Eberflus Bears, we came to that point. And the conclusion from the Chicago Bears front office finally was to dismiss their head coach. Today's episode, I want to try and keep things on the football field moving forward, because look, now that we're going to start our head coaching search, we're going to have a long, long road and plenty of time to talk about the candidates, who's in, who's out, who should be considered, who's not considered. I've done a little bit here on this show for those of you tuning in for the first time. I am a big advocate for, if you don't at least interview and talk to Bill Belichick, I think you're doing this process wrong. If you could somehow move aside his age and this ethereal, vague version of what kind of control he wants and doesn't want with the Chicago Bears, would they be comfortable with it? Well, I think it's time to get uncomfortable in Halas Hall. And I don't think Ryan Poles, he's done some good things, but he's done plenty of bad things. And to quote Kyle Long, who tweeted it, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but if you want to go somewhere where you've never been before, you're going to have to do things that you've never done before to get to where you want to go. And that's becoming a Super Bowl contender. Chicago Bears are still quite a ways away from that. So whatever you want to sell me, I'm not saying Bill Belichick is the perfect hire. I'm just advocating that if you're not at least considering speaking with him and interviewing with him, I think you're doing this the wrong way. My two cents. My other two cents is I was really taken aback by the press conference that preceded Matt Eberflus introducing Thomas Brown to the city of Chicago. And a lot of people have had a lot of different opinions on it. And I will tell you this. I think the Chicago Bears might have screwed it up again. Because if you watched it, and if you're a body language doctor, Ryan Poles looks like he has been officially marginalized as the general manager of the Chicago Bears. And again, consider me confused. When Kevin Warren was hired, yes, he'd been the commissioner of the Big Ten. I'm not saying he doesn't know football, but I'm also saying he wasn't hired to be a football evaluator. Shout out to George McCaskey with that phrase. And having said that, I thought Kevin Warren spoke way too much at this press conference. I wanted to hear from Ryan Poles. And I wanted to hear about the future of the Chicago Bears. Kevin Warren came out and gave a very lengthy statement about how we're going to get it right. Chicago Bears fans, best fans in the world. We're going to work in concert. We're going to communicate together, me and Ryan. Ultimately, Ryan gets the final decision. Why is Kevin Warren explaining all this to us? I feel like some of this should be unsaid. And sometimes when this happens in any corporate structure, you can tell that Ryan Poles has lost some of his juice in the building. And I'm just curious whether that's going to be a problem moving forward, hiring the new head coach. You want different opinions. You want to disagree to come to the best conclusion that you have, that you can, for the Chicago Bears moving forward. And when it comes to the head coach, if there are differing opinions between Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles, who is getting the final say on this? And is Ryan Poles entering into another arranged marriage with his head coach? Because keep in mind, the Chicago Bears interviewed multiple head coach candidates, then hired Ryan Poles, then gave Ryan Poles a list of people that they wanted to heavily consider. And 2 days later, Ryan Poles made Matt Eberflus the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Did a part of that also have to do with something that I've been talking about on this show, Trace Armstrong being the agent of both Poles and Eberflus? Possibly. But you can't tell me he gets hired and 48 hours later, he falls in love with his next head coach. And I'm sure Ryan Poles walked into it with his eyes open. I'm sure he liked Matt Eberflus and was loyal to him. And I can imagine that they had a partnership that when he had to say goodbye to Matt Eberflus, I bet you on a personal level it was difficult for him. And we're starting to realize a little bit with Ryan Poles is maybe he mixes business and the personal maybe a little bit too much. That's speculative. But you always wonder and you always try and consider what are the machinations behind the scenes. And as we know, and as Dan McNeil on last week's show told us, the machinations behind the scenes with the Chicago Bears have always been dysfunctional. And I'm sorry, we're turning a new page. It already seems like there's some dysfunction. Who is really in charge here? And Kevin Warren, you're building a stadium, I get it. You're front-facing with the organization. You can kind of tell he likes to hear himself talk just a little bit, which is fine. A lot of confident people do, and he's an incredibly confident and smart and capable businessman who's now the president of the Chicago Bears. I get it. But know your role, and you got to delegate and empower. He talked about everything moving forward in the future, and then when it was time for Ryan Poles to talk, he fielded questions about the past. And I'm sorry, if I was in Ryan Poles' position, I would feel a certain way about that. And I know some people say, who cares, Joey? But before we get to football, I get it. If you just want to eat the sausage, that's fine. At some point with the Chicago Bears, you can only avoid it for so long until you start figuring out and maybe asking yourself the question, how does the sausage get made around here? And what kind of animal hooves are in this sausage? What are the McCaskies doing to us? So it'll be curious to see. And man, the only way I'm just kind of giving my cheap seat thoughts on this is because this coaching hire, I'm not speaking out of school on this one. It's the most pivotal coaching hire the Chicago Bears have ever had in their franchise. And if they get it wrong, not only could they screw up probably the next 10 years, but probably screw up the best chance that they have at perhaps, we'll see, he flashes, maybe the most talented quarterback we've ever had in a Bears uniform. So speaking of that, thank you for taking the time to hear some of the off-the-field stuff. I want to go on the field here. And because it is the holiday season, I'm going to lay out for you my holiday wish list for the Chicago Bears through the remaining five games of this season. And these are things that I would like to see. And these are things that I think if they happen, we can carry them over into next year and start building some confidence in some areas on this football team that I think are big picture and I think are going to be integral to the Chicago Bears being successful moving forward. So pull out a pen, get out your piece of paper, whether you're writing to Santa, Hanukkah, Harry, however you observe, however you celebrate, it doesn't matter. This is my holiday wish list in no particular order for the Chicago Bears with the remaining five games of the season. The first one, the first and foremost, obviously, is Caleb's progression. And if you've been a supporter of Sports Talk Chicago, I talked about it in the summer. Is that anyone that thought Caleb Williams was just going to come out of the gate and be amazing from the jump, I think you were getting ahead of yourself. Anyone that thought that Caleb Williams out of the gate was going to be a straight bust, well, it also looks like you're wrong there. There was a middle area there that I was pounding the table about all summer long. And look, I don't even think this has to do with Caleb Williams. This has to do with the nature of the business. Rookie quarterbacks have peaks and valleys. They have ups, they have downs. They look great one week, they look terrible the next week. They look great for a quarter, they look terrible the next quarter. And then, oh yeah, the quarter after that, they might look great again. That is a part of the maturation, the up and down roller coaster that is the rookie quarterback. And so far, we've seen it from Caleb Williams. Now, we've done plenty of time complaining about the coaching around here. Let's just focus on the player for the moment. You know, you started off your year, I believe he had two quarterback ratings the first 2 weeks of the season under 60. For those of you not familiar, that's not good. And I'm even going as far as to say terrible. Week three against the Colts, I think he put up an 80 quarterback rating. And then from that point on, he put up three straight weeks of over 100 quarterback rating. If you were over 100 with your quarterback rating, you were an elite upper echelon player in the National Football League. You're making Pro Bowls, and you stack enough of those 100 quarterback rating seasons together, you're going to the Hall of Fame. So he put 3 weeks together of that. After that, if you remember, they get back. They left the season in London. They came home. And then Washington, Arizona, New England, which I thought was the most critical stretch of the entire season. They drop all three of them. The offense looks terrible. Caleb doesn't play well. He puts up a quarterback rating of no higher than 68 in all three of those games. High 50s, low 60s for that three-game stretch. They fire Shane Waldron. They come back. Again, the last three games, they've lost them all. But Caleb, quarterback rating back in the 90s for each of those three games. So it is going literally up and down with him right now. So the progression for him moving forward is, I'm not saying by the end of the season he needs to be a finished product. And I promise you right now, even the Caleb detractors, please, if you can, just hear me with just one ear, if possible, is that by the end of this year, Caleb will not be the finished product. He will not be the bust that you want him to be. And for on the other side, he will not be the superstar that I think a lot of people want him to become in Chicago. It just isn't going to be there. But there are some things that we can learn and we can see from Caleb that I think will give him a leg up into the offseason and then moving forward in his career. And when we talk about Caleb's progression, the first one is, at some point, guys, the Chicago Bears are going to have to start faster in these games. It is difficult for any player, let alone a rookie quarterback, to come out and immediately struggle and have to find that resiliency, that pick-me-up to put it together the way that Caleb has in the second half of some of these games. I mean, we saw it in that Carolina game. They started off fast. He had one of his best games as a pro. They didn't even start fast with Jacksonville in London. Turned it around and played three great quarters. But again, I think this is a priority here because when we talk about starting fast a little bit, it all blends itself back to, are the Chicago Bears and the coaching staff and the players, are they on top of the details from the jump? Are they crisp with their execution and their intent when they go out there to play a football game? And when you start slow, it could be a multitude of different factors, but if it happens every single week, you do have to start question that old adage, that old cliche of, are these guys ready to play? And Matt Eberflus, those run teams, my criticism is that he doesn't get his guys to play. And they're always slow to start seasons and slow to start games, slow to situations. This is something that can create a contrast for our new head coach, Thomas Brown, and be a differentiator for him at the very least of if they can start a little bit faster offensively in games. And for Caleb, I just want to see him play more in rhythm, feeling good for as long as possible, than going through a quarter and a half of whatever it is that we've been doing on offense all season long, and then him finally getting into it and walking out of it with one half of football that was great, the other half isn't so good. Just want to see them start faster. The other thing with Caleb and progression is, look, this is just me talking. I would personally like to see this, and I think it would be important, is I want to see Caleb Williams win a road division game. I think that stuff's important. And it's already starting now. I've seen it in some of our comments on the YouTube thing, already checking and tethering our current record with Caleb Williams. I can't do that rant again, okay? We did that with Justin Fields, okay? And I'm with you. If we want to maybe meet in the middle and say maybe Justin wasn't the future and he wasn't, you know, a winning quarterback, we can do that. But let's be real here. The Hail Mary game, kicking a field goal on second down, defense in overtime versus Minnesota, and then not calling a timeout against Detroit. You can't look at me with a straight face and say the probabilities, the math, at least says the Chicago Bears picks up one or two of these games and should probably be about 6-6 right now. I hate doing shoulda, woulda, coulda, but we have to stop doing that. And I think winning a road division game is another one of those things that heading into the offseason, it'll be, well, who did he beat in the NFC North? Did he win on the road? So on and so forth. This stuff really matters. And in my opinion, we got a couple of these left. They play in Minnesota, and then they play at Green Bay. And I think I would love to see him win one of those games. To go into an NFC North opponent's house, and man, what a year to do it too, because the NFC North outside of the Chicago Bears is absolutely fantastic. But for Caleb to go in there, the Chicago Bears to beat one of these teams on the road in their house, I think it means something. And as we move forward and hopefully we get stability with the coaching position, we get better as a football team in the preceding years, winning games like that, I think will mean something. And also on my wish list too, let's just do it. I want to beat Green Bay. We can go on and on about what we want, how many wins, what's it going to take for Thomas Brown to keep his job? What's it going to take for Thomas Brown to be considered as the head coach? Is it 2 wins, 3 wins, 4 wins, 5 wins? I think for Caleb Williams in the here and now, I think beating the Green Bay Packers, just to get it off of your chest in your rookie season, it's on my wish list. I want to see it. Doesn't make the season a success, but these are small little building blocks, small little challenges, little tests that Caleb will have to take throughout the rest of his career to get some of these notches in his rookie season. I think it's important, and I would love to personally see it. What else is on my holiday wish list? You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. I hope you're having a wonderful Saturday night, Chicago. We're talking holiday wish lists for the Chicago Bears over their last 5 games. I'm going to go with Rome Odunze. Another one, right? Now, Rome has made some plays this year, and there's been some moments and some games where he's really been able to flash and he's really been able to come up with, you know, some big time plays. And I think he's on pace right now for something along the lines of anywhere between 650 to 800 receiving yards, which honestly, for a rookie wide receiver, it ain't that bad. But there's a couple things I want to see from our number nine pick in the first round of last year. The first one is, again, back to the details. I know this doesn't mean much to the casual fan, but to me, this means everything, especially with the offensive scheme that the Bears have been trying to run. He's got to get better as an outside blocker. I understand that you're going to be a little raw and you're going to be lacking some what we would call savvy on the outside there. But sometimes the effort, in my opinion, could be a little bit better. The physicality could be a little better. Dude, you got length, you got size, and I bet you money you got some strength too as well. Use it. You'll learn technique. But we're trying to do this outside zone run scheme. We're trying to get, you know, DJ Moore the ball before the line of scrimmage with these little bubble screens, get the ball out of Caleb's hands early. So a lot of that sometimes comes down to wide receivers blocking their man on the outside. And I think Roma Dunze could do a lot better job of it. The other one is I want to see a consistent effort from him for four quarters. This goes for Caleb. This goes for the whole offense. But we've seen Rome flash. We haven't seen Rome have his huge game. We haven't honestly seen Rome come down with a catch that only he could come down with. And there's been some issues throughout the season that I think both him and Caleb need to clean up. There's been some moments where Rome's run a great route, wide open, and Caleb either hasn't seen him or he's missed him. That stuff happens. That doesn't mean Caleb is a bad quarterback, but you use those as learning moments that the next time that they happen, you try and hit some of those. You're not going to hit every single one. So all you all 22 freaks out there watching the all 22 and seeing him wide open, and this is the reason why Caleb is a bust. It's not true. You're not going to see everything. Try and think about this as human beings playing a sport for like half a second. But with Roma Dunze, I do want to see a little more consistency. And I also want to see, it would be great if he could possibly take the mantle from Keenan Allen, who's gotten a lot more run the last couple of weeks. And we can walk into this offseason excited about the chemistry and the compatibility between Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams moving forward. Keenan Allen, to this point, in my opinion, I think he actually could have a role on this team next year if he enjoys being with this group of players. Obviously, I'm not paying him the money that he's making this year. I think at best, maybe he's looking at $6 or $7 million, whether he can get that on the open market somewhere else. Would Kansas City want to do that? I don't know. But I want to see Roma Dunze kind of take his game up another level a little bit. And I want to see him try and help out his rookie quarterback a little bit, because obviously when we talk about Caleb and his progression, another one is that it still hasn't happened, but the deep ball could get a little bit better. It started off the year pretty awful. He's hit some shots, but for the most part, his misses are wild misses at this point. And sometimes you want to say to yourself, can you put it at least in an area where if it isn't accurate, can your wide receiver go out there and make a play? And I've been on this a lot. In my personal opinion, I think Caleb, in an effort to not make a mistake, he's thrown 212 passes without throwing an interception, which is, by the way, a Chicago Bears franchise record and also an NFL rookie record in the history of the NFL. I digress. But I think Caleb with the long ball, I've said this before, is I just think that he's trying to put it out there deep. Doesn't want to be short because that's how the ball gets turned over. If I put it out there a little extra, my guy can go down there and chase it. And I think he's just miscalculating, and I think he's overthrowing some of these balls. But with Roma Dunze, I really want to see him take a step forward. That's on my wish list, so that by the end of the year, we walk out of there being like, man, this dude is at least a number two. And maybe in a year or two, he could become a number one. And we have a 1A, 1B with him and DJ Moore for at least a couple years. That's what I would like to see. And my final one on the wish list is, this feeds into the Thomas Brown conversation, but I do want to see a rejuvenation from the Chicago Bears team. It'd be on my wish list right now. Now, let's be honest here. Let's call for what it is. The Chicago Bears right now, they're 4-8. They're not going anywhere. But honestly, with this five-game stretch with Thomas Brown, it really is a 0-0 stretch. They're really kind of starting over. Because gear up, Bears fans. No matter what happens in these five games, we're going to use that record for or against Thomas Brown moving forward. We're going to use this record for or against some of the players on this team. Whether it's 2-3, 3-2, 4-1, 5-0, 0-5, 1-4, doesn't matter. We're going to use that, and it's going to stick to Thomas Brown, and it's going to stick to some of these players. So I want to see a rejuvenation from this squad. I want to see if these guys are maybe flying around maybe a tick faster. I want to see if these guys are maybe flying to pick up their teammate off the ground, celebrating, smiling, having a good time. I want to see a couple of players where that development goes from this point on, playing the 49ers through the rest of the season. Do we give Roschon Johnson a little bit more of a run? Do we give him a tiny little bit more of a look? Jervon Dexter, what kind of player are you? Right now, I would consider him a solid player who flashes right now, but can he take his game to the next level? Keep in mind, Ryan Poles, still to this point, has not drafted a Pro Bowl player. And when you take a guy like Jervon Dexter in the second round, you're banking on that guy to one day become a Pro Bowl player. I think he has Pro Bowl potential. But guys got to put it together. I want to see what he looks like over the last five games. Kyler Gordon, a guy who I think personally, is an ascending star on the Chicago Bears defense for hopefully years to come. What does he look like? I want to see how this team plays. I have a feeling, and we'll get to my keys to a Chicago Bears victory, hopefully snapping their six-game losing streak against the San Francisco 49ers on the other side of the break, which is coming soon. But I want to see this team play a little different. I want to see a different attitude out there. And whether we can equate that to Thomas Brown is going to be difficult. It's going to be complicated because now, at this point, a lot of these guys are getting a fresh start, and a lot of these guys are either playing to justify their contract, they're playing to sign their next contract, whether it is with the Bears or some other NFL team. I mean, this is all tape city now. They got to put good tape out there. And for a team that also had players rise up and vocally protest their head coach and the decisions that he made, de facto breaking his relationship with the team and then getting fired, a lot is on their plate now. And we've spent a lot of time talking about these coaches this year. And I feel like there's been a lot that we haven't been talking about in terms of on the field. And a lot of it is justified. The Chicago Bears are still a dysfunctional mess in the front office. The way they go about things is not normal, people. It's not how other NFL teams do it. But these five games, we need to start focusing on some of this stuff going on the field. Who's in, who's out? Who's in the boat? Who's out of the boat? Who's going to be a part of this team next year or who's not? Who do we need to move on from? And that's what I'm curious to see. And it all leads into what is going to happen exactly with Thomas Brown. And I'll have my thoughts about what I think is going to happen with Thomas Brown on the other side of this break.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Coming back here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. You're listening to WLS AM 890. Happy Saturday night, Chicago. And the first part of this wonderful one-hour episode, I talked about my holiday wish list for the Chicago Bears with the final five games. And in just a moment, I'm going to preview Chicago Bears versus the San Francisco 49ers. But first, my final holiday wish is I simply want to walk out of the final five games of the season knowing what I have with Thomas Brown. I don't think I'm going to get what I want on this one. But I want to learn as much as I can about him in this five-game stretch. I think it is reckless, and personally, I think it's a little arrogant to say at this time whether Thomas Brown deserves to become the permanent head coach of the Chicago Bears or not. If you ask me to speculate now with my own ego, I probably would look outside the organization for someone with some experience. But the bottom line is, the most important thing, Bears fans, that we have to keep in mind is at the end of the day, I don't care who it is. It has to be the right coach. That is the whole idea of this exercise. That is all we're trying to do. That no matter what, the decision that you make, that is the right decision for Caleb Williams, the Chicago Bears, and the future of this franchise. You just have to get it right. So I don't care if it's Thomas Brown, Bill Belichick, Dan Lanning from college, whatever it is. We just have to get it right. So having said that, I want to learn as much as I can about Thomas Brown. I'm going to turn over every stone. I'm going to cast a wide net. So I'm going to give everyone the respect and consideration that they deserve. And they've decided to give Thomas Brown a real shot at this. So let's see what happens, right? There's a couple of really easy ways that we can at least learn something about him this week. And to be very fair, we have to walk into this with eyes open because the bar, ladies and gentlemen, is incredibly low. If you just watch your Chicago Bears on a Sunday and then you go on living your life because you have other things going on, good for you. I happen to also watch other teams in the NFL. I happen to watch all the NFL. I also happen to watch a lot of Big Ten football too as well. When it comes to the coaching, the bar is incredibly low here in Chicago. When Thomas Brown was named offensive coordinator after Shane Waldron, he literally just went back to basics and brought us back up to competency. And everyone was applauding him like he was the next coming of Bill Walsh. No, it was because Shane Waldron had decent concepts and ideas, but they never worked in concert with each other. They never played off of each other. They never created or broke tendency where the opposition didn't know what was coming. So that's what Thomas Brown did. He came in. He tightened up some of the formations with how they looked on pre-snap. And then he tried to take some plays and have them work off of each other so that the defense didn't know what direction the Chicago Bears were going to go in a given play. And it hasn't worked to like gangbuster results. We're just back to scoring normal points again like any other NFL team. So you can only give so many gold stars out to Thomas Brown. Thank you for bringing us back to normalcy. Don't mean that to be backhanded, but that's where we're at. So moving forward, Thomas Brown, like, what are we looking for? We're looking for the basics. We're looking for the basics. How do you handle situations? Can you get a challenge right? Because something that Matt Eberflus was unable to do. Every time he threw a challenge flag, we might as well take a lighter and light a timeout on fire because that timeout ain't coming back. How do you handle your timeouts? Can you create a moment throughout your football team that percolates that says, hey, we are all aligned in this kind of style of playing? Look at the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell. When they're fourth down and four, everybody knows what's going on because Dan Campbell already knows his directive is we're going to be aggressive. We're going for it. Nobody thinks twice about it. I don't want to see a lot of hand wringing over some of the decision making. Is it clear? Is it concise? Is it smooth? What does the operation look like? I'll be honest with Thomas Brown in his press conference. I was impressed. I have to give credit where credit's due. I'm not giving the guy a 5-year contract, but just in the moment, I want to give him some credit. I really appreciated the fact that, you know, sometimes when these interim guys get these jobs in these other franchises, they'll just talk about how excited they are to get going, how thankful they are for the opportunity. And it's just an exciting time with this weird, goofy smile of like, man, I didn't see myself getting here. Thomas Brown wasn't like that. Thomas Brown rarely talked about himself. He only talked about the team. The only time that he talked about himself is when he took accountability for some of the mishaps and problems that the Chicago Bears have had all season long because he was a part of a coaching staff that executed poorly. Sometimes when he did smile, it was one of those confident, quiet, unfazed smiles. He said the word no excuses a lot. I think he's going to be able to have a good communication with the players. And for those of you that aren't familiar, Sean McVay, who's got a Super Bowl ring, I think one of the top elite coaches in the NFL of the Los Angeles Rams, Thomas Brown was his associate head coach. He was his right-hand man. And very recently, there's a lot of quotes in press conferences of Sean McVay speaking incredibly highly of Thomas Brown. Now, of course, we see this all the time. You're always going to go out there and you're always going to compliment your buddies, right? But at least this gives Thomas Brown, I think he's got a good background to come into this, and we'll see what happens, right? And I'm not going to measure this on wins and losses. If he goes 3-2, I want to see what those three wins look like, and I want to see what those two losses look like. If they go 2-3, I want to see what those two wins look like and those three losses look like, you know? Are the Chicago Bears walking out of this year heads held high with all this crazy momentum thanks to Thomas Brown? We'll see what happens. End of the day, though, I want to keep an open mind. But again, he's not getting the benefit of the doubt from me. There is a difference there. Open mind, yes. Benefit of the doubt, no. I am now walking through all of this with insane skepticism. I walked in skeptical of Eberflus. And about 95% of the experience, I didn't think that he was the head coach of the future. That turned out to be true. But that doesn't mean just because how I feel about Thomas Brown now means that we're going to be right again on this. We don't know. We have to let it play out a little bit. But at the end of the day, the most important thing, Bears fans, is that the Chicago Bears get the right head coach. The right one for this team. The right one that could take Caleb Williams up to all the potential that NFL scouts have projected that he could possibly attain. We should be rooting for this. You should be rooting for Thomas Brown to be amazing. Wouldn't that be incredible? Thomas Brown becomes the next Sean McVay or Kevin O'Connell in the NFL. We should be rooting for something like that. But again, we're not giving the benefit of the doubt. We're going to be objective with our eyes open. And of course, I'm going to root for the Chicago Bears. I want to see Thomas Brown do well, but I'm going to be looking at it with a very critical eye. That's going to do it here for Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. I hope you're having a wonderful Saturday night, Chicago. I hope the Chicago Bears win tomorrow. Make my prediction look pretty good. If you want, you can follow me on socials at Joey Sports Guy or follow us at Sports Talk Shy. I appreciate the time. I appreciate the listen, Chicago. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a great Saturday night. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week with more of Sports Talk Chicago, right here on WLS AM 890.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.